Got the sound on? Everything good? John chapter 1. You go open your book to chapter 2. Again. John chapter 1, verse 14. These gospels are amazing if you take a chance to read them. As a matter of fact, I'll be starting. There's a thing I did a couple times. You can read the gospels in I can't remember how many days, but I think like 30 days. But you can read all the gospels in 30 days, and it'll section it off to read. I think I'm gonna start it up again at the beginning of the month, because going through that so much, it talks so much about Jesus, and it has so many things to say. I know we have our favorite scriptures, and sometimes we pick and choose the ones that we like out of the middle of the scripture, or we memorize the one or the two that we like the most. But context has everything to do with what you get out of a text. Context has everything to do with what you get out of a text. Always, it's just simple. This simple study. You don't need the Holy Ghost ain't got to come up on you for this one I'm about to tell you. All right? Just read before and after the scripture. All right? Read before. Read the chapter. I mean, what are we rushing? What are we rushing to, right? We're just trying to get text. Read a chapter. Find out what's going on. They're going to tell us this further in the book, but you see what was going on. You remember Paul and Silas in jail? Huh? You remember that? That's one of our favorite scriptures, and we preach about it and we shout about it in church, but you don't really understand the harsh conditions that they were in, that they had to praise and worship God. And that when you see that, when you really understand that story, you know that you can praise and worship God in anything that you go through. You see what I'm saying? Because they're in a hard, it's not like these prisons right now with electricity. You know, and I'm not saying prison right now bad too. All right, but you're in almost a dungeon. And they praising and worshiping God. Why I take you so hard in the air condition with all the lights on? That'll preach on a Sunday morning. John chapter, but the gospels are great. I see so many things in the gospels. On the four different accounts of Jesus' life. But in John chapter 1, verses 14, and you can read it together. Ready to read? Full of grace and truth. The word was made flesh. Who are we talking about right there? Come on, who are we talking about? Jesus. So we see that the word was made flesh. This word of God, this whole Bible, everything that we read was made flesh in the embodiment of Jesus. So Jesus, his life, who he was, how he acted, everything he said represented this Bible. He represented the word of God in the flesh. So now when you're reading about Jesus, you're reading the word of God in the flesh. However Jesus acted, that's what the word would have done. However Jesus acted, that's what God would have done in that situation. He was God in the flesh. Are y'all understanding me? So Jesus, there's a message I heard, bless my life. Jesus came solely. We got all these reasons why we think Jesus came. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus came, say it, Jesus came to reveal the Father. That's what he was here for. So when you see Jesus do something towards any person, no matter what kind of person they were, no matter what kind of lifestyle they were living, whatever Jesus did towards that person, that's what God thought about him. All right, it's going to help us as church people, too, to not condemn people. You don't hear nothing about God or Jesus condemning nobody. It's about, by your words are you condemned. That's scripture. All right? So we understand that when Jesus did something, that was revealing God's mind about that. That was revealing the word of God to us. He was the word of God living. The living word. You know the song of Fred Hammond got? You are the living word. We sing it all day long. We don't know what we're talking about. He was the living word. Bread of heaven? Yeah, yeah. He was the live testament of the Bible. He wasn't reading it. He was it. And that's what we're supposed to be. That's really what it means to talk about living by the book. That it's not supposed to be something that we read about and we try to act out. When we read this book, we're really realizing who we are. You see the difference? Approaching it to see how to act as opposed to approaching it to see who I am. Whole different reading, ain't it? It's a whole different study happening now. Now I'm looking in the mirror. Now I'm looking at identity. as opposed to trying to act something out. And that's a problem with a lot of people, a lot of things with the church as a whole now, too. As a whole, not a lot is getting done because you're looking at it trying to see how to act. You see what I'm saying? You're looking at it trying to see how to act and not trying to see who you are. If you see who you are, if you find out who you are, then you act a certain way. What happened if you found out that you had a great-grandfather or something or anything great that had passed away, and you found out that you was royalty? So today you found out that you had about $20 million sitting there for you. Huh? I receive it too. He said, "Hey man, I receive. I'll tell you. Come on, great. I'll receive it right now." Wouldn't you act different though? Now hold on. Would you act different though? Hold on. Let me deal with you. Don't act too different now. Don't get all beside yourself like you didn't. Right? But wouldn't things? Think about right now. Think about your life for a minute. Wouldn't things be different? I'm not talking about getting biggity and not. You can't tell me nothing. I got 20. Not that. I'm saying you got some of them bills that you wish you could have paid off a little early. You got that debt you wish you could have knocked out, right? Right. Or you got some other things on your heart that you wish you could do, right? Wouldn't the approach be a little different? Wouldn't your action be a little different when you realize who you really were and what you really had? When you realize when it was a revelation, it was revealed to you that this is yours. Then you begin to act different. So now anybody got to tell you, no. You know you're going to pay for whatever you got to go pay for tomorrow. Yeah. Right? Why wouldn't you? That's crazy. Why wouldn't you? You're going to do it. You're going to act differently because you are different. If you find out who you are, then your actions will automatically change. I receive it. So you find out who you are, then you got anything you caught up on? Anything you caught up on that you're trying to beat? It's because you don't know yourself. Because you have identity crisis. If there's any habit or anything you're trying to be, anybody in life, this doesn't work for anybody. You're trying to beat it. You know you're not supposed to be doing it, but you're doing it. You keep doing it. I keep having it. I keep tripping over that same thing. It's only because you don't know who you are. And it's identity crisis. Because if you knew who you were, you would act differently. If you really knew who you were, you would speak to some things instead of being fearful about them. You see the difference? Y'all see the difference? But it's all about seeing who I am in His Word. That's why I'm approaching it. I'm approaching it in love, remember? I approach it in love, looking for love. I leave with more love. You remember that? I'm looking to see, I'm looking in this word to see who I am in Christ. To see who I am in Christ. To see who I am through Christ. To see who Christ is in me. There is no me without Christ. I got to tie this together because they say the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now my identity, if it's in the word of God and the word was made flesh in Jesus, then my identity is in Jesus Christ. It's not about Jesus Christ. My identity is tricky. The enemy will sit there and let you go to church. I told him in other class, the devils are members of a lot of people's churches. Sometimes he come with you and sit in the whole service. Let you take notes, you say, "Oh, you missed that one." Oh, he'll tell you, you missed that note right there. You skip one, write it down. Oh, he's okay with that. He's okay with your notebook being full. He's okay with all the church slang you got. He's cool with all that. Yeah, the problem is when revelation comes. Here's what he can't get to. That's when you overcome. You see what I'm saying? See, he'll let us sit there. He'll let us sit there and act it out and not really see who we are. He'll let us go through the motions. He'll let us do that. That's cool. I want you to do that. Because I know there ain't no power going through the motions. But he don't want you to see who you are. Are y'all with me? So now, if the word of God is my reflection of who I am, and then the word of God was made flesh in Jesus, then I need to pay more attention to Jesus to see what I look like. When I look at him, I see me. You don't know who you are. Call your name out. Say your name. Come on, say it. Say your name. Come on. All right, but you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. How long you been with yourself? Right? You think you know. You have no idea the greatness of God that's on the inside of you. I mean, there's not no pepper rattle. Hold on, listen. The fourth preacher sometime in church. I told last class, we... You know, pessimism and optimism, You know, somebody pessimistic, somebody optimistic. Pessimistic is negative, optimistic is all. So a pessimist see the glass half full. Optimist see it half full. The pessimist see it half empty. Right? Right? That's a lot of times in church, we're nothing but positive pessimists. Why you look at stuff the way you look at it and don't see the greatness of God in it? You know, I was sitting there with Apostle David, we was praying. He said, you know who made David? Everybody say, God made him. No, Goliath made him. Goliath made David the champion that he was. Because there's no Goliath, we don't know about David. Come on, listen. Well, we so pessimistic. We got the victory speech, though. Y'all know exceedingly abundantly. We got the chance. Great is he that's in me. No, live it. Is he greater in you? Ask the question. You know, scripture says, great is he that is in me. You know the statement? You've overcome them, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right, right, right? We know that. No. Ask the question to yourself. Is he greater in me? Those challenges come up. You're a champion. But if we're going to be a positive pessimist, we don't even see the victory in the battle. Y'all see me? We skirt around these things. We've got to see, let me get back, we got to see who Jesus is on the inside of us so we see our definition of who we really are and all the things that we have the ability to be conquerors over. We should be conquering over life. We should be conquering in life. There should be nothing that should be stronger than you are. What was stronger than Jesus? Come on, answer it. Come on, let me hear you. What was stronger than Jesus? What did Jesus come to that he couldn't beat? Jesus beat everything, even death. He beat it all. He beat every single thing. So we should be beating every single thing. But the reason that we don't beat every single thing is because we don't know who we are. We have identity crisis. And you know scriptures, don't you? Y'all know some scriptures, don't you? We can quote them. Come on, go down the line. We have a quote session. And we'll quote them. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about it, but we have a quote session, don't we? But this stuff got to become alive. I got to get over quoting this and start living it. And I live it when I see it and I see myself in there. When I see myself in Christ, huh? Not about Christ, in Christ. I was about to say this earlier. The enemy is okay with you being about Jesus. He's okay with you doing things about Jesus. You know, most church is about Christ. It's about him. He's the figurehead. He's the figurehead. He's everything that we pointing to. How you point to what's on the inside? Jesus. Oh, right here. Uh-oh. Okay. Jesus. Right here. Where's he at? Was they lying or not? Were you asking them to come and live where? Uh-huh. When you approach, they should see him. The works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these, because I go into my Father. Well, you can't open nobody's eyes no more than their eyes being open. So the quality can't get better, but the quantity. That means you opening eyes where you at, and I'm opening eyes where I'm at through Jesus' power. So now greater works. But you got to see yourself in him. You got to start reading his Bible to see yourself in him. You got to start reading these scriptures to see yourself in Christ, to see your identity. Ye are of Christ. They call us Christians, little Christs. You have the same bloodline. There ain't nothing nobody in this ministry can tell me. They can't tell me go sit down. In this ministry? In Word of Life Christian, Every Christian Word Ministries, you're not going to come in here and tell me go sit down. You know who's going to tell me go sit down? Apostle's going to tell me go sit down, and my mama going to tell me go sit down. You can't tell me nothing. Why? Because I'm of him. I got certain authority over here. So when we walk in the room, I got some authority. I already understand why people be friendly with me. They friendly with me because of who my daddy is. I get it. I ain't tripping. I'm not tripping at all, but I understand the authority. Do y'all understand? So there are certain things that can go on because of where I come from. And certain things that can happen because I know who I am. Do y'all understand me? Are y'all with me? Same thing with Jesus. It's the same thing with the Father. But you got to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, then how will anybody know Christ in you? If you don't know who you are, then what's the point? You can't witness. You ever wonder why you witness to people and they be like, you give all the scriptures, you get deep, you get in the spirit, you start crying a little bit while you're talking to them, and they be like, I'm good. Maybe next hour, I'm all right. All that before, right? You know why that happens? Because you don't know you.
You're crazy character traits.
You're doing the thing that
you have people that saw anointed
Christian, but you don't really know who you are. Because if you knew who you are, your approach and your step and your you remember Jesus started talking to people. He said, "Yeah, you're right. And the man that you with ain't your husband." That touch your heart right there, because don't nobody know that, right? That touch your heart when I reach when I talk to you. And touch her heart when she touched him and his garment, he turned around and said, who touched me? That touched her heart. That out of all these people around, she felt, he felt her. Do y'all see that? We've been trying to witness to people and tell people about Jesus, but we don't know him. So it's why our conversion rate is low. It's why our success rate is low. You can quote the scriptures all day long. John 3:16 quoted, Romans 10:9-10, we can quote that all day long. Y'all know them up and down. But is it alive in you? We can quote the scriptures all day long, but is it alive in you? Huh? What need did you meet when you walked up to the person? Huh? What supernatural thing happened when you walk up to the person? Because if it's not nothing, then what's the point? You're not witnessing. You haven't been a witness of anything. You know, a witness has seen something. A witness? Yeah, you've seen evidence. They're not going to call you to court for nothing. We don't need you. We don't need you if you ain't seen nothing. Why would I call you? Come on. Why would I call you? You weren't at the scene. Oh, y'all ready? This is a good one. Why would I call you if you weren't at the scene? Why would I call you? You called, huh? You called the minister. What you seen? Uh-oh. What have you seen? If you don't know him, you don't know nothing. I don't need to call you to the stand. You know, I call you to the stand. I don't need to call you to the stand. You ain't seen nothing. You ain't got nothing to offer this case. The Word was made flesh. John 1:15, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word of God. Everybody say, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. Go to your book, chapter 2. We'll do a little reading in the book. And I'll skip around a little bit. What time is class in? I never know. All right, for sure. So you know we're talking about newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, thereby they may grow in respect to salvation. Now, like newborn babes, they longing for something, not just wanting it, or not just looking for it, they long for it. Remember we talked about the babies, how they cry when they're hungry, right? They're going to do what they got to do until they get what they got to get, right? Right? Okay. And they long for the milk of the word, and that by it, they may grow. Everybody say grow. In respect to salvation. That means they grow into respect of who they are. Now, salvation is not just let me go a little bit. Salvation is not just you pray the prayer and ask Jesus. Salvation is not just being saved. Salvation is everything that comes along with the benefits of you having Jesus on the inside. Salvation is everything that comes along with the benefits of you having a right relationship with the Father, being connected with the Father. You became born again, you came back in connection with the Father. All right? So now it's everything, my peace, my wholeness, my wealth, my health, everything that comes along is my salvation. So now I'm longing for the word that I may grow in it with respect to my salvation. In other words, I grow, and I got another scripture talking about growing in a minute in Ephesians 4. Matter of fact, turn to Ephesians 4. But that I grow, this word makes me grow in respect to my salvation. In other words, it makes me grow into approaching what my salvation is and taking the benefits of what God has done for me. It makes me grow. That's what the word is supposed to do. It makes me grow up. Everybody say grow up. Grow up. Come on, everybody say grow up. Grow up. Now, if I call you a child in here right now, you won't fight. Come here, little girl. Come here, little boy. Go sit down somewhere, little boy. You ain't nothing but a little boy. You won't fight. Nah. I'm a grown. You almost say another word. I'm a grown. Y'all know what people say, right? Right? Come on, y'all stop acting all deep on me. Y'all know what people say, right? Yeah, I'm a grown man. Don't you call me no little boy. I can't believe, walk out of class, I can't believe he called me a little girl in there. Ain't no little girl, I'm grown. I've been grown. You're mad if I call you baby. Come on, come here, little baby. Come here, little baby, sit down. Get your book, little baby. Y'all gonna be mad with me. Why is he talking to me like this? Hold on, though. come here, little baby. Let me teach you something in the Bible. Nah, you be mad with me, right? Flip over the page. I don't know what page this is. I'm in my book. I don't know. It's probably the second page. I don't know. Let me see. Let me see the book. I'll tell you what page it is. Page 22, yeah. And jump down to about the second to last paragraph. It said there's purpose. You see that there's purpose? And it starts talking about third word, which brings us to third word, aim. What is the aim of the Bible? The text tells us in order that we might grow. Everybody say grow. Everybody say grow again. Please note that it's not only that you may know. Underline that. It's not just, the word of God is not just so that you can know. Now, what the enemy will allow you to do and what you allow to do yourself is mental assent to this word. You'll memorize these scriptures and you'll think that you know it. You'll think that you know it because you can quote it. There's nothing wrong with memorization. All right? So don't take that on the left side of the field, all right? There's nothing wrong with memorizing the word. I memorize the word too. Actually, as a scripture, I was trying to memorize today in Exodus 33 because I want to memorize because I wanted to put it in my prayer time. So if I ain't got time to flip over to my Bible, I can memorize it and say it. But I can't stop at memorization. Because if I stop there, sometimes your mind will fool you and make you think that you got it, and it'll just be up here and not in here. Now, see, the only thing that can really get it in here is the Holy Ghost. The Bible says nobody can receive anything except it's been given from heaven. Listen to me. You can't. The only thing that can stamp something in your heart is the Holy Ghost. The only thing that makes it a stamp into your heart is a revelation word from the Holy Ghost. So you got memorization, but if you never get to revelation, then it's not really in here, it's in here. So now you mental assent to the word. So now because you think you know something, you think you'll know it all. You ever heard of know it all? Nobody likes to know it all. Tell the truth. Come on, tell the truth. You ever talk to somebody, try to tell them something, and they're telling you what they know? And you know that as much as you know? Knowing has nothing to do with nothing. All right? It's good to know. It's good to know, but don't stop at know. Grow. Take what you know and grow. What's the point of having the milk if you don't take it in? Are y'all with it? What's the point of having the sustenance? What's the point of having the food if you're not going to take it in? Because you never grow if you don't take it in. It can be sitting there, it can be smelling good, it can look great, all that good stuff. It can be everything that it's supposed to be. But if you don't take it in, there's no growth. All right? Now understand, taking it in is more than just knowing it. I'm going to say it over and over again. It's to grow, not just to know. Thank God for knowing, but now you got to get to some growing. You got to mature. Everybody say mature. And we're going to read in Ephesians 4 in a minute. I'm going to try to get over there. But talking about maturing for the perfecting of the saints. Perfection means maturity. So you've got to mature. This word of God should make you grow up. You should not have the same old attitude you had 10 years ago. Why are you talking the same way you were talking? How long you been at church? You've been in church all the time and you got the same stuff you had 10 years ago? There's a problem. You need to find out what it is. If you're not growing, maybe you just know, but you haven't got a revelation on it. Now, the perfect way to see what's going on in your life is check your manifestation. Well, that's a perfect map. That's a perfect way to find out where you are in the grand scheme of things. Check out your manifestation. I ain't got to give you no revelation on that. You can look, everybody, you know your life better than I know your life, don't you? I know mine too, so I look around. God told me one day, he said, you're all where you are because of what you've been doing. He said, you know the parable of the talents? Do y'all know the parable of the talents? How it go? He gave one. Do you know it or don't you know it, all right? He gave one, he gave another, and another. Then he said he gave it to them according to their what? No, come on, y'all. Oh, whoa. I like that when you start screaming out stuff you think you know and you don't know it. I like that because I show you how much of the word you don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to make you feel a certain way, but you need to. Huh? That's a That's what we do. And it's according to Scripture. You don't know what it says. He gave it to them according to their several ability. So, I mean, the one that got one because he was worth one. Uh-oh. The one that got two because he was worth two. He didn't get three because he wasn't worth three at the time. He didn't have the ability for three. He had the ability for two. So that's why he got two. And why she get four? Why she got five? That ain't your business. According to the several ability. You need to pay attention to that one that you got and do something with that one. All right, now that don't mean, well, she got five, she better than me. No, that's where you at. We so busy looking at other people's stuff, we don't realize how to maximize what we got. All right? It's good to have aspirations and to look up to somebody. That's great. But you should stop comparing yourself to so many other people. Compare yourself to Jesus. You got 1, 2, 5. 1, 2, 5. Everybody say 1, 2, 5. 1, 2, 5. Now, they all got them caught in their several abilities. So if you got one, it's because that's where you at. And God told me one day, he said, look at yourself. Look at everything going on. You know, you believe in God for opportunities. Why this door ain't opening? And why this and this and this? And this. He said, you got what you got because of what you've been doing. He said, this is what you're worth right here. Look at your bank account. That's what you're worth. Ooh. And we get the quote in it. We're exceedingly abundantly. I know I'm rich. I'm rich with the fop. No, you got what you got because that's what you got. Best way to find out, we be ignoring. We be in denial. We're in denial. And we start quoting the scripture. No, look at it. Look at it. Look at where you're at. You are where you are. You don't need nobody to give you no message for that. You don't need no dove to come out of the sky and land on your shoulders. Huh? It's right there in front of you. It ain't nobody else's fault. So now, according to yourself, he said, well, you all where y'all because of what you've been doing. So now this life, come on. You got all them scriptures, but ain't nothing popping off. You all where y'all because of what you've been doing. Maybe you're mentally assenting and you're not getting revelation. Come on, I want to check. I want the, when you really do this right, when you really teach a class right, or when you really get into this word right, if you really study the word on a day-to-day basis, it's going to cut you. You're going to bleed. If you leave and you're not bleeding, if you leave and you feel all, yeah, it's going to cut you. It's going to cut you, sew you up and encourage you, but it's going to cut you. You're going to leave with some war wounds. If you study every day and nothing compels you to change, you're missing it. Why you got the same stuff you had last year? Why you just as inconsistent now as you was last year? And we're doing prayer groups. Why you still praying the same thing you was praying when you were 16? We should be further than that. And so if we're not, there's something wrong. You know, pain hit. You know, your pain hit your body. Everybody paying you. Like, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, right? You know, we get the quote, 1 Peter 2 and 12, who said, bad, I sins under the tree, we dead sins. By whose stripes I'm healed, right? Then praise the Lord for that. But sometimes that pain is to show you that something is wrong. Sometimes you got pain somewhere to signal. Just imagine if you ain't feel nothing. You wouldn't know what's wrong with you. You wouldn't know what's going on. We don't want the pain. Nobody don't know that shock sometimes lets you know you need to stop eating what you're eating. Huh? And so now, sometimes it be a shock in your life. Or something ain't showing up, the ends ain't meeting like they're supposed to, right? Or things happening. Probably it's trying to warn you that somewhere along the line, you know some stuff. You've been in church. You went to church Sunday. You were there early for prayer. Let's get over that. I'm over that church junk. I'm over all that doing all this stuff. And no, I'm over the victory speech. Where's the victory? And so this word is made for me to grow. It should be constant growth. It should be constant growth. God showed me something this morning. He said, your problem is up here. He said, your problem is you're not growing in your, he said, you're not progressing. He said, now I'll put you on, he started showing me something that he did. He told me his mom, I'm walking out there, he said, you know, he said, I ain't trying to hold you back. and I'm not trying to hold you out. He said, ain't nobody trying to hold you back and nobody trying to hold you out. He said, the only thing holding you back and holding you out is you. He said, you got some raggedy thinking somewhere in your mind. This is more, listen. And he said, I took you. He said, I've taken you and put you on a new level. But what you did was you brought that old stinking mindset from the last level to this level. So now you can't maximize this level. And you feel like you're still over there, but you're over here. So you over here where you shouting in church to get to. Sometimes you done got to the place that you're supposed to be, but you still got that, oh, as I think, therefore I am. That's why the word of God, you got to take the word, let it clean you. We think you're talking about cleansing, you like you stop sinning. No. You stop sinning when the word of God gets in you and you know your identity. That's when the actions change. Come on. So now it's going in there to change your mind so that you can realize what level you on. You know, in the Bible, when Jesus came, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Remember that? But do you remember it? All right. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. We're gonna read some more scriptures up here. Y'all gonna get that Bible, all of them down in your head. I'm not gonna leave you comfortless. He said, I'm gonna leave and I'm gonna send you a comforter. He said, I gotta leave so he can come. I gotta leave so you can get him. All right, we know it's the Holy Ghost. He said, he's gonna guide you in all truth, teach you all things, show you things you do not know. We can go on and on about the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, right? The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's the Holy Ghost. He show you things that you do not know. So now, We have a better covenant and we have a better way to do things and we should be living better than we are because we got the Spirit of God at call whenever we want it. Are y'all ready? You remember the only thing that can give us a revelation with the word is the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. You can read this word all day long, but if the Holy Ghost don't touch it, it's not alive for you. You remember in the beginning when he said, I made Adam and Eve? He said, I made man, I formed him from the dust of the ground. But the most powerful thing he said was, and I breathed into him and he became a living soul. It wasn't until the breath of God hit that dust, because ain't nothing but what we are anyway, dust and dirt. You ever sweat and then you're going to wipe it, go take your collar off and there's going to be a bunch of dirt around there because you ain't nothing but dusty. Oh, you don't think you're dirty, huh? Yeah, you ain't nothing but some dust. To the dust you came from, dust you're going to return. I know we think highly of ourselves sometimes, but that's what it is. But it wasn't until God breathed into him that he became a living soul. This word is the same thing. We can have it sitting there in our laps and we can do it, but it's not until the Holy Ghost can breathe into it does it become alive to us. So now we got the Holy Ghost. He's going to give us revelation, right? We got the word, thank God. We got my heart, right? And we got the Holy Ghost, right? But the moment before Jesus, let's go back before Jesus, though. Everybody say the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament, if I was God's chosen man, then you couldn't talk to God. I had to talk to God for you. And so you had to take my word for it. If I said God said go down the hall, you just got to go down the hall because I told you to go down the hall. It wouldn't last in 2014 because submission is a problem. That's another conversation, another class. I don't know. It's another class. But that's, you wouldn't have contact. You couldn't go beyond the veil. You couldn't have it. You couldn't be led in all things. And letting all truth, you couldn't do it. You're going to be led by me. I'm going to tell you exactly what you're supposed to do. When it's time to cut them bulls up and sacrifice, that's what we're going to do. Right? The moment that we live and we read this word, listen to me, Jesus, right in the middle of it all. Everything before Jesus was leading up, pointing towards Jesus. Everything after Jesus pointing back towards him. All right, listen to me. You're reading the Bible, all right? Jesus come. He shows us how, word in the flesh, he come in the flesh. He's the word in the flesh, right? He's the word made flesh, right? He comes, he shows us exactly what it's supposed to look like. Jesus showed us exactly what it's supposed to look like. Jesus showed us exactly what life is supposed to look like. I don't think we approach it that way, but he showed us exactly what this thing is supposed to look like. We out here talking about, so Holy Spirit, he showed us exactly what it's supposed to look like. And then he gave you the thing that made him be able to do what he did. Oh, yeah, the Holy Ghost? Yeah, Jesus needs the Holy Ghost. Yeah, Jesus needs the Holy Ghost. But the moment that we read this word, we mentally ascend to it, and we don't let the Holy Spirit breathe on it, we don't approach it the proper way, and we don't let the Holy Ghost breathe on it, we make ourselves Neanderthals. We take ourselves back to the Ice Age. We take ourselves back to the Old Covenant. We take ourselves back to the Old Testament, so now we got to sacrifice bulls and lambs. And we got to go through all this drama with no results. It takes us back to the point where we don't have a personal relationship with the Father. It takes us to the point where sin can reign in our lives. The moment that we don't let the Holy Spirit breathe on His Word, we are like ones without a covenant. And you got it right there in your hands. It's made to grow. It's made to grow. Change ain't change till it change. Is that a true statement? Change ain't change until it change. Until something change, ain't nothing in change. That's simple, ain't it? So you can read this word in vain. You know, people talking about how to memorize the Bible. Woo! Bro, man, shout out to you for memorizing them scriptures. Now what? Anybody eyes opening? Is anybody getting up from the dead? How this working out for you? It's to grow. The Bible's not written to satisfy. Go to the last night. I said, but it's not to grow without knowing. You cannot know, but you can know and not grow. You see that line? The Bible was not written to satisfy your curiosity. I'm curious. That ain't what it's for. We took the Bible like it's a magazine. It's not written to satisfy your curiosity, but to help you do what? Conform to what? And the scripture says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. It's not to make you a smarter sinner, but to make you what? But this is good, man. It is not to fill your head with the collection of biblical facts, but to what? So now this word of God is to conform me to Christ's image, to make me like the Savior, and to transform my life. Y'all see those three? You better put them down. Sound like a test question to me. I'm trying to help y'all. Let me reveal a couple things to you. What's the three? Come on, read them to me. What's the first one? Come on. Second one. Come on. Transform your life. You better write it down. I swear, you better write it down. It might be a fill in the blank. It might be 10 minute three. The question might just say 10 minute three, I told y'all. Ooh. Nah, I ain't going to be like that, but that would be funny. I'll go to Ephesians 4 real quick. I don't have time. God, these classes are so short. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Lord, show me some of the scriptures. I've been reading the scriptures for years. But I'm going to tell you about this word. This word will yield so much to you. Scriptures that you've been knowing for years. You've been quoting them since you've been a little kid. They've been a part of your prayers, right? Say your prayers when you go to bed. They'll yield so much to you when you approach them the proper way. I've been reading Ephesians 4 for years. Every joint supplied. Y'all know that, right? Every joint supplied. We know it. We've been using it to say, take your part in the church. Ministry help. That we use it for. Come on, it works for ministry health, but we use it for ministry health. That's not ministry health. You need to play your part in the church. Come be an usher. Come be something. Right? And that's cool, but it's real surface. It's real surface if we leave it there. It's real surface if it doesn't enter in and start to change something. I have no change taking place, it's only on the surface. I heard a pastor say this the other day. He said, I wonder why people come to church and then just leave. When is a good church? The word coming forth, something could happen to them, like, and they just walk away from the whole. He said, because they've been touched, huh? But their heart hadn't been changed. Come on, touched, and it's great to be touched. Touch me, oh Lord, touch me, right? Touch me, Lord. This whole song. Touch me, Lord. I want to feel Your presence, but then I need to let it go, so far. To where it'll change me from the inside. It's great to touch a pill, but you need to ingest it and digest it so it can change you from the inside. Are y'all with it? Just because you got the pill in your pocket don't mean nothing. You know what it is. I know if I take this, I ain't going to deal with whatever I'm dealing with. It's gonna start eradicating. I know it, right? You know it. You look at it and you know it. You read the words on it. Uh-oh. Sound like the Bible to me. You read the words on it. You read the prescription on the side of the bottle. Shake it up. You got the whole bottle. Make noise. Sounds just like pills. Got it in your pocket. But until you take something and let it go inside of you and start infiltrating your system, ain't no change. Y'all get that? I like that. You can know and not grow. You got to check yourself, man. There's a possibility that you know these things, but you won't grow. That's scary. You know what the scripture says? No man ought to think of something more higher than the other thing, but think soberly, for God has dealt every man the measure of faith. This is what he's talking about. Don't think because you know it that you somebody now. You get what I'm saying? This is 4, and I ain't got time to read all the beginning of it, and it's talking about in unity and one body, one law, one spirit. Jump down to verse 11. He said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. 4, verse 12, read. There's another 3 for the work of the ministry. Come on. Find out a body. So we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge. Listen to this. You see that? Look at it. Come on, look at the scripture. Come on, look at the scripture. Look at the scripture. Look at it. You got to look in your Bible. Look at the scripture. Look at the scripture. It's not story time. Look at the scripture. So we all come into the unity of the faith and of what? Uh-oh, who is that? Oh, so he gave some apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, right? For the work of the ministry, right? And for the edifying of the body, right? Until we all, how many of us? No, it says half of us. All of us, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, until we know Jesus. Do you know him? Now, you know he said that at the old church. Do you know him? Yes, I know him. You know we said in church. I'm getting church yesterday. I could. Yeah. Do you know him? Yes, I know him. Do you know him? Met him, but do you know him? I'm a stranger in your house. How long you been saved? You been living with you all that time. You're a stranger in your house. Be walking by him like he ain't in there. Search the scripture. Anything you think you have. Like you read the Bible in the house with him. You read the scriptures in the house with him. Come on, y'all. Come on. You read the scriptures in the house with him. Search the scriptures. John 5:39, come on, we went over there. Search the scriptures. But in them you think you have life. You think you have life. It'll fool you. You think you got life. Thank you. I appreciate you searching the scriptures. In them you think you have life. But they which testify of me. But you won't come knock on my door. I'm in the room right here, but you won't come knock on. No, you won't come under me. You won't come to my bedroom door. Jesus, what does this mean? Jesus, show me your glory. Jesus, come out here so I can see you. Don't want to do that. So we read them scriptures. We read it and we go on about our business. How many times we done it? Who's guilty? Come on, I'm. Answer me. No, answer me. I want to hear your mouth. I just read the scripture. I ain't gonna knock on the door. It'd be like, you know, you say your prayers. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Baba. Shout out. You did your thing, whatever. And then you read your scriptures or whatever, your scriptures, right? They're yours now, right? You read your scriptures. Then you get up and you're walking out the house because you're in a rush now because you got to go do whatever you got to go do for the day. Because it's really about you. And so Jesus, remember right there, you walk, all right, Jesus, I'm gone. I'm going to holler at you later, Jesus. I'm going to call you later. Put him in the car. We'll be riding in the car with you all day long, but you're just a stranger. Sit in the car, don't even talk to him. The answer to life is on the inside of you all the time. There's no reason for nothing to be taking you over, but you just don't recognize it. You don't recognize it, you don't acknowledge. You know the scripture. You know the scripture, but you don't know it. So we all come in unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Then it says what? Until what? Please remember this. I'm going to give you this one. Please remember this. Don't ever, listen, I want you to put this in your vocabulary. There's certain things that there's pet peeves when people misinterpret things wrong. All right? Ain't nobody perfect. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because he wouldn't say it, herein is my love made perfect. He wouldn't say it for the perfecting of the saints. He wouldn't have told God ain't crazy. So he wouldn't have said to be perfect. Be perfect. It says in the scripture, be ye perfect. He wouldn't have said be perfect if you couldn't be perfect. See, the enemy is okay with this too. Can't nobody be perfect? Yes, you can. Perfect has everything to do with purpose. You're not going to be flawless. Uh-oh. You're not going to be flawless. You know, you might make mistakes. Yeah, but perfection has everything to do with purpose. Thank you, sir. This is a perfect pen. That may not be perfect to you because you might not like the color, but it ain't got nothing to do with you. It's a perfect pen. Why? Because it fulfills what it is supposed to do. It is a perfect pen. It could be a little jagged. Uh-oh. It's a priest, boy. This could be a little jagged. This could be broke off. It could be a little scratched up. Some of the words even scratched up a little bit on there. See on the side? They're a little rubbed, because you've been using, I understand, but they're a little rubbed off. You know what I'm saying? It don't really look the part. It don't look like it's brand new, but it's a perfect. Let's see, it's brand new. Brand new. He even got another one. This one here. This one here is brand new. But I want to use that one. I appreciate that one, but I want to use that one. Because sometimes this is how we look. We're a little rubbed off. We're a little faded. You know what I'm saying? Got some little jagged parts on it sometimes. Sometimes the clip then broke off. But do your work. Are you effective? We get caught up on all the other stuff. You're perfect. Not flawless. You're not going to be flawless. You can stop trying to be flawless. You can forget that. But perfect? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get the job done. Perfect. Perfection. Unto a perfect man. Y'all see that? Look at it. Unto a perfect man. So please, put that in your book. Stop saying. Please. Don't be talking about talking about ain't nobody perfect. Stop lying. You know we say that stuff, huh? It's a little stupid stuff because we didn't pick it up over the years. And can't nobody be perfect. You want me to be perfect? Yes, I want you to be perfect. You want me perfect? Yes. That's how apostles talk to you. You want me to read your mind? Yes, I want you to read my mind. Now, I never ask him that, but I'm just saying, that's how it is. He'll be like, you probably think I want you to read my mind, huh? And I don't ever answer. I'll be like, well, if that's what you want, you know. He'd be like, I do want you to read my mind. He said, because you can do it, because you got the Holy Ghost. He help you with all stuff. You got to do it. It's important to him. Until a perfect man, I love this phrase, and I didn't realize what this meant till this year. Till this year, y'all been reading this for years, but this year, and it's not till it, I'm just be honest. Can I be honest? I've been preaching for a long time. But not till this year. I read this and it made all the sense to me what he was really saying, because I was reading. Sometimes you can read over these things that we know already, and you read over them and you don't know what it's saying. And you can read ritually and you skip the revelation. You ever done that before? What's your favorite scripture? Just quote it right now. And you quote it real quick. Sometimes what's your second favorite? And you quote it real fast, but sometimes you might be missing a word. You remember we did that? Did we do the Lord's Prayer in here? Is Lord's Prayer, well, say the Lord's Prayer. Say it. Oh, say it again, come on, from the top, let's go. Come on, 1, 2, 3. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name, kingdom come, thy will be done. What's the next word? But you really thought it was on, and we say on a lot, huh? Because we think we own. See, we thought, but in. So how does that change? How does that make things change now? Because how does that make things change now? On earth as opposed to in earth. On earth. Remember I told you what you was earlier? You ain't nothing but some dirt, no way, right? So that means you ain't nothing but earth. You ain't nothing but earth. You pray different now. Teach us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. Come on, let's say it now. Come on. We'll say it something. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I do this when I pray it now. I do my hands so I can remind myself. It's not talking about on earth everywhere. How long you been praying that prayer? Forever. I was sitting in the pulpit, on the pit on the side with a band at. I've been reading this forever, y'all. I've been in church. Y'all know I've been teaching school for 3 years. And the pastor started reading it, and I looked at it, and I said, I've been saying on earth all this time, because on earth gives the connotation of heaven come down. Heaven come down, right, right, right. Heaven come forth. Where's the kingdom of God? I miss it. Slight. One word. O-N-I-N. O-N-I-N. O-I-O-I-O-I. O-N-I-N. And one word, change the connotation. Now you're going to pray it different tomorrow. I'm going to be praying the Lord's Prayer. Boy, who the Lord's Prayer going to be all? It's going to really be the Lord's tomorrow. My kingdom come, thy will be done. Inner. That means on the inside. Lord, I'm praying that your kingdom come and your will be done in earth. It's powerful. You read over it and you miss the whole thing if you don't pay attention to what's going on. You ready? So now, until we all come to unity of faith, now the Son of God, until a perfect man, this is the line I was telling you about, until the measure of the stature, come on, what's the next line? Oh, Christ. Till we get to the measure, what does it mean to measure something? Come on, You find out how much amount of it, how tall, how short, specify the amount, how much it is, how much it weigh, right? How much is on the inside of it, right, right? It changed since last year? So you mean I teach from 935 last year? Ain't nobody tell me nothing? What it means to measure? I'm going to finish this last one. What does it mean to measure? What does it mean to measure? You weigh out to find how much it is. How tall? So you're taking measurements. How tall are you? I'm 6'1". The measure of the stature. What's the stature? What does it mean, your stature? Your build. You know, I could be stocky, you know what I'm saying? Slim, you know what I'm saying? I could be whatever. It's the stature. Right? So cause measure of the stature. What does it say after that? So really what it's saying is the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body, until we all come until the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, right? Until a perfect man. And until we measure up to the stature of Christ. Until we measure up to where we look, we weigh, we the same height, we talk, we got the same amount on the inside of us. We add up to the measure of the stature of Christ. Do you understand what that statement means now? That I measure up. When I walk in, my weight just like his weight. The weight of my left step is the same weight as his left step. The weight of my prayers is the same weight as his prayers. Until then, because we're growing up in him. Do y'all get it? Boy, I can't wait, boy. I can't wait till y'all study in the morning. And I know I ain't going to be there, but I can't wait. Tonight, y'all going to be fired up tonight just reading the word. My kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, in earth, in earth, in earth. The Lord teaches how to pray. And that's what he told them. Inside. There's more inside than you know. Stop looking for an outside miracle when there's an inside miracle. Stop looking for it to come out here when it comes out of here. Huh? Amen. Amen. We're going to finish chapter 2 one day. Oh, y'all got tests next week, right? Your quizzes. Whatever your quizzes are, add them all up together. That's what your test is going to be. Now, don't be trying to study them in 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4. Like that, because it's probably going to be shuffled. So it's probably going to be random. But all your quizzes together up until now, that's what your test is going to be, all right? Is it timed? I have no idea. But you can email Diana and ask her, and she'll better let you know. Because I'm going to tell you the wrong thing tonight. Any other questions? Because I'm going to try to answer what I can.